Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I am a believer, not a doubter. I am a doer, not just a hearer. And my life is the better after having heard the word of faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All right, so let's jump right into it. I'm excited to teach this to you today, and so generosity. So Matt, I'm going to go ahead and give you my scriptures. It's a dual text this morning. You can go ahead and go to, let's go to Matthew, the 7th chapter, and the first verse. I'll also be going right to Luke 6 after this. Of course, we understand the Gospels, and so Matthew gives their account, then Luke gives their account, but let's go ahead and go to Matthew, the 7th chapter, and the first verse says, "Judge not that you will not be judged, for with what judgment you judge, you will be judged, and with what measure you use, it will be measured back to you." All right? And so now let's take this same account in the book of Luke, the 6th chapter. I'm going to start at verse 37 and read verses 37 and 38. All right, now I want you guys to work with me on this one, so listen real closely because I want to say a part and I want you to get a part. "Judge not and you shall..." Okay, that was really good, so we're going to try one more time. "Judge not and you shall..." All right. "Condemn not and you shall
not be condemned.
Forgive and you will be..."
Forgiven.
All right. So it makes sense. You got it. Like if you don't judge, you know, if you judge, you're going to be judged. If you condemn, you're going to be condemned. You got it. But if you don't judge, you won't be judged. If you don't condemn, you won't be condemned. It says, if you forgive, you will be forgiven. And watch what verse 38 says. It says, "Give and it will be given to you." How? "Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your bosom." KJV says he will cause men to give into your bosom. It says, watch this, this is very important. "For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you." All right? And so I wanted to start our giving series with just talking about generosity. If I was to title this particular lesson for today, I would title it that it's all about the heart. Everybody say it's all about the heart. It's all about the heart. Now, the word money does not appear in those verses. And when we hear the word give, sometimes I think all we think of is money, all right? If someone was to ask me, "How, pastor at your church, how often do you teach on giving?" I'd tell them every week. They'd be like, "What? You teach on giving every week?" Well, I think what they should have asked me is, "How often do you teach on giving money?" And I would tell them about one time a year. But watch this. I teach on giving every week because you can't teach on grace without teaching on giving, because God's so loved the world that he gave. You can't teach on marriage without teaching on giving, because if you're going to have a successful marriage, you, the husband and the wife, both have to be givers. Does that make sense? And so giving applies to every area of our life, and giving is about the heart. Now, money is definitely included, because Jesus himself says, "Where a man's treasure is, there is his heart also." Jesus is basically showing us that there's like a string that's tied from your heart to your purse, or from your heart to your wallet. You got to have seen that through the years of pastoring, because sometimes when it's time for offerings, people go for their wallet, or they go for the purse, like, oh, you know. And so it's possible that that's true, that Jesus is right, all right? That was funny, whether you like it or not. And so anyways, this passage is all about the attitudes of the heart. Attitudes of the heart. So we see giving in the middle of this passage about the heart. So he's talking about judgment. He's talking about condemnation. He's talking about forgiveness. These are all attitudes of the heart. And so whatever we give, the writer's teaching us that more is going to come back to us, whether it be good or whether it be bad. Does that make sense? There was a story of a lady that wanted to talk to her pastor, and so she, you know, she had an appointment with him, and then she says, "Hey, I've got my kids." He said, "That's okay, you can bring them." And so he was there, the receptionist was there, and the kids were just kind of sitting right outside the door of the office. The office door, of course, was wide open and those kind of things, and she was beginning to tell, her pastor just some of the issues she's having and the trouble she's having. And then she told him, she said, "You know, and my kids, they always yell at me. I don't know why my kids yell at me. Like, they yell at me morning, noon, and night." And as soon as she said that, she had heard the kids, and then she turned around, "Will y'all be quiet in here? You're making too much noise." And then she looks back and says, "I don't know why they always yell at me." Well, whatever you give is what's going to come back to you. Does that make sense? Yeah, and so I want to talk to you today, from this subject, it's all about the heart, and I want to show you how to develop a heart of generosity, how to develop a heart of generosity. Deuteronomy, the 15th chapter and the 7th verse, I'm going to pick it up there. It says, if there is among you a poor man of your brethren within any of the gates in your land which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not harden your heart. So there we go. It's a matter of the heart. Nor shut your hand from your poor brother, but you shall open your hand, how much, class? Wide to him and willingly, it's a matter of the heart, and willingly lend him sufficient for his need, whatever he needs. And so we see that the commandment is coming, and it's basically telling us that you have to have the right attitude. You have to have an attitude of generosity. You have to have an attitude where you're willing to give to the poor or somebody in need. And watch this. And he says, when you give, give sufficient. In other words, you know, I love to give. If you've ever been around me for any amount of time, you just know that's just who I am. I've always been like that. It didn't happen when I just became a pastor. I've just always been like this. I just love to give. I love to give. I love to give because it's the order of God. I love the feeling that I get when I give to others. You understand what I'm saying? I just love to give because I believe it's the heart of God. And so the Bible says that you ought to give sufficient. And if as we go through this series, I believe that, you know, if your heart is open, God's going to open it more. Or if your heart is not open, God is going to open your heart to really be generous. Now, we know the tithe belongs to the Lord. Isn't that right? And so I'm not talking about just the tithe. And we'll talk about the tithe as we go. But I'm talking about over and above that. Just being generous out of what God has blessed you with. Because that is really the order of God for our lives. Sometimes I'll be at the gas station. And, you know, the Lord will say, you know, just pay for their gas, you know. And sometimes the carnal mind comes up with all these reasons why you shouldn't. You know, like, you know, those people don't know me. They're going to look at me funny. You know, those kind of things. Whether he already put his card in, you know, and just things like that, you know. But I have cash on me. And so, you know, you take $60 out. And then when you take $60 out, you know, the carnal mind looks and says, well, that car don't take $60 in gas. You know, but the writer didn't say that. He says, give sufficient. You got it? So I give them 60, but it's over what they need. And that is, the Bible says that that is cheerful giving. That is generosity. And the Bible says that the Lord loves a cheerful giver. So I want to give you four things that we need to do if we're going to become generous givers. I want to give you four different things that we need if you're going to become generous givers. Now, I'm going to tell you, this series is going to be really good. It's going to be really eye-opening. There's going to be a few of them that are going to be a little bit more tougher than others, because anytime we talk about dealing with my heart and my money and those kind of things, you know, like, we like to do what we like to do. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, that's why we all grew up and got out of the house, because we couldn't wait till we got grown, because we didn't want our parents telling us what to do. And then we got up and we got grown and then found out that, you know, I'd rather be home, because with being grown comes bills, and with being grown comes responsibilities. You understand what I'm saying? And so you know, a few of these lessons might be a little tough. So everybody say, buckle up your seatbelt. All right. So four things we need to do if we're going to become generous givers. Number one, deal with a selfish heart. I have to deal with a selfish heart. I have to make sure that I'm looking within, and Deuteronomy 15 and 9 will continue. It says, beware lest there be a wicked thought in your heart, saying, the seventh year, the year of release or jubilee, is at hand, and your eye be evil against your poor brother, and you give him nothing, and he cry out to the Lord against you, and it becomes sin among you. And so, really, the Bible calls selfishness wickedness, all right? And so what happens is, the writer's talking, and he says, hey, you got to be careful that when it comes to the seventh year, the year of Jubilee. Now, God, back in those times, had this economic system where every seventh year was the year of Jubilee, and all your debts were canceled. How many would like to start that all over again? Amen? Yeah, everybody in the room. Right. And so they had this. And so what happened was, he says, don't let there be a wicked thought in your mind, because, you know, somebody that's unfortunate that doesn't have says, hey, can I borrow? And you're like, well, it is 3 months until the seventh year. If they don't pay me within the 3 months, you know, of the seventh year, then that means that I'm going to have to, you know, release their debt. And so the writer says, that, you know, when we're selfish, when we have those selfish thoughts. They're actually wicked thoughts. Does that make sense? He says, and at the, go back to the scripture just for one second. And at the bottom, he says, and it becomes sin among you, all right? And so God calls selfishness thoughts wicked thoughts. Greed and selfishness are not proper motives for giving. Got it? Greed and selfishness are not proper motives for giving. God wants to change us from greedy, selfish takers into grateful, generous givers. You got it? He wants to take us from greedy, selfish takers into grateful, generous givers. I'm talking about everybody. I'm not just like targeting you. I'm talking about from the time you're born, you got it, till you get to where you are now. You got it? So I'm not calling you greedy. I'm just saying that's the order of God, and I'm going to show you as we go. Generous people are happy people. All day long. Generous people are happy people. I don't know about you, but I love, you know, I love when people have birthdays because I like to give them something for their birthday. I like Christmas, you know, ultimately because it's the birth of Jesus, but I love, you know, you know, it's the season of giving. You understand what I'm saying? And it's not about what you know, you have to give someone this, you have to give somebody that. Last year, this past year, but the year before, one of my nieces for Christmas gave me a Dallas Cowboy hat. You got it? I had a blue one, you got it, with a silver star, but she gave me a white one with a blue star on it. You understand what I'm saying? And, you know, I love, you know, I love that. Well, I'm the same way. I like to give things to people because I understand how it feels to receive. You understand? But I also understand the even greater feeling when you give to somebody. And so we must never have the mentality that we give just to get. Let me just kind of let that sink in. Because if you're not careful, you know, I'll give my tithe. So God, and watch this. And it is true that when you give, you do receive, because we just read that earlier. But this is a benefit and not the motive. All right? Watch this. We give because we have the right attitude of heart. We have the right attitude towards God. And so what happens is when I give, watch this, God is going to bless me because he just says it all in his word. But at the end of the day, God, watch this. So if God tells me, you know, I'm pumping gas and he says, go bless that person with $60, he doesn't want me to be like, okay, Lord, I'm going to bless him, but hey, when am I going to get mine back? That's the wrong motive. You understand what I'm saying? We know God's going to bless us. We know because God has already said, you know, if you have the right heart, I'll do anything for you. And so, and this is why we have to teach our children to give. The neighbor's kid comes over, and the neighbor's kid, you're talking to the neighbor, y'all in the living room, and it's your kid and the neighbor's kid. The neighbor's kid goes and picks up a toy. What does your kid do? Run over and says, I was playing with that, right? And then the neighbor's kid says, okay, no problem. Now the neighbor's kid goes over and picks up something else. Your kid runs all the way from that side of the living room, all the way from this side of the living room, says, I was playing with that. You got it? Now don't act like my children were the only ones that did that when they were little. Y'all are acting like, oh, Pastor, we don't know anything you're talking about. Yes, you do. All right. And so we have to teach them to share. Everybody say share. It's important that we share. We are born selfish by nature, but we are born again generous. All right? We are born selfish, but we are born again generous. And so so there is an area, however, ladies, I do want to talk to you for a few minutes about. There is an area of selfishness that men never grow out of. Okay, I just want to just let you know right now, and then that way it just takes, you know, takes the pink elephant out of the room, and the men can be all right, okay? So there's an area of selfishness that men never grow out of. We do not like to share our food. See, we do, like, and women really want to share our food, and we don't like to share our food. It's an area that the Lord is working with all of us men in the room, amen? And so, and every woman says the same thing when you go through the drive-thru. I say, hey, babe, do you want any? Oh, no, I'll just have some of yours. You won't have any of my fries. I will buy you two things of fries, but you're not having any of my fries. Got it. And the fries that fall at the bottom, those belong to me, too. All right, and so we have to deal with a selfish heart. Of course, I know men do, but maybe women do too. All right, so number two, everybody say number two. You have to deal with a grieving heart. Now watch this. This is really important. You have to deal with a grieving heart. And here he's talking about money. He says in Deuteronomy 15 and 10, you shall surely give to him, and your heart should not be grieved when you give to him. Right? So you have to freely give, you got it, and you have to give with the right attitude. It says, because for this thing, the Lord your God will bless you in all your works and in all to which you put your hand to. So we already see that God wants to bless me when I give, but the whole key to giving is to give with the right attitude and to give with the right heart. Does that make sense? And so when I give, I shouldn't give grudgingly, right? So, you know, so like, I, you know, God tells I'm at the gas station and I'm pumping and the Lord says, give them $60. And, you know, you got all these things that are going through your mind. And let me just go ahead and tell you one thing. When the Lord says do it with deliberate speed. In other words, just go ahead and be a blessing right away. Does that make sense? And so, you know, so you're going through, you know, your little normal things, you know, but when you go over to give the money to the person and this person doesn't know you, right? And so, you know, when you give the money to the person, you don't want to go over and be grieved like, hey, how you doing? Good. Well, hey, God said I have to give this to you, so here you go. Have a great day. That's not how you give, right? And the writer says if you give that way, the Lord is not going to bless you. He says you have to make sure that you're not grieved when you give, because for this thing, the Lord your God will bless you in all your works and all which you put your hand to. So we shouldn't give and then grieve over what? Watch this. We shouldn't give when we grieve, and then we shouldn't give and then grieve over what could have, what we could have done with the money. You know, big giving day is coming up. You may be one of the ones who's going to give $1,000 towards it or something like that. And then all of a sudden, you know, you give your $1,000 and then the tire goes flat the next day. And here comes the devil. See, had you not given that money, you know, you were, how many know that tire was going flat anyway? There's a nail that has been in there for 3 weeks and it's been leaking slow. You understand what I'm saying? But how many know that's what the devil will try to do to you? Because selfishness will try to attack you before you give, and grief will try to attack you after you give, all right? And so you got to understand let me just put it in a question. Is God pleased if after we give, we regret it? No, he's not pleased. You got it. Did God accomplish his work in your heart if you're grieving after you give? No, you got it. And so you have to make sure that, you know, that you have the right mindset when it comes to giving. You understand? Like I love to give. Like right now, I'm thinking, you know what? I like to have cash on me. You got it? And I don't have any cash on me, which I normally always do. And I like to carry cash because I'm always giving. So if I don't have any cash, how in the world am I going to even carry any cash? Oh, you going to give me some cash? Oh, well, praise the Lord. God bless you. Give him a big hand. $20, $40, $60, $80, $100. I ought to come to church with no money more often. Okay, so let's talk about that. So why was he so fast to get up and give me that cash? Well, I'm going to tell you. Because I gave it to him before service, and I told him this is going to happen, and I told him to come give it to me. I'm just trying to make sure he gave me all my money back, too. You never can be too sure. All right, watch this. Let me ask you a question. Watch this. Is he grieving? Oh, you're not grieving, are you, Ben? No. Okay, all right. Is he grieving over giving me my money? Okay, why? Because it wasn't his, it was mine in the beginning. So maybe we have a problem with giving because we don't understand it's not ours. Everything belongs to the Lord. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and they that live within. Does that make sense? All right. All of our first-time guests, that be's my wife. No. Can't get this. There was a... I don't want to embarrass him. There was a nice couple that came. My brother introduced me to them, so I'm going to pay for their lunch today. Praise the Lord. All right. But baby, you got all my money, girl, so you ain't even got to. I don't even know why you asked that question. All right. Let's get back into it. Y'all getting blessed? All right. Don't let me forget to give that money away. What? Oh. Okay, praise the Lord. Everybody stay focused. All right, so let's rehearse. Number one, we have to deal with the selfish heart. Number two, we have to deal with the grieving heart. Now, the first two points, I only have 4 points for you today. The first 2 points are what we have to deal with. And then after we deal with these two things, the next 2 points are what we have to develop in life, all right? And so let's go to number three. So number three, we have to develop a generous heart. What kind of heart? A generous heart. So please understand that when I'm just born into this world, I'm not born generous. You got it? I have to, first of all, renew my mind. First of all, I have to give my life to Jesus. You understand? And as I give my life to Jesus, I renew my mind. I change my way of thinking. And I understand that God was the greatest giver because he gave his only, you know, begotten son. And we are to be like God. God is generous. God is loving. So we are to be generous and we are to be loving. Does that make sense? All right. And so Deuteronomy, the 15th chapter and the 14th verse, it says, you shall supply him, what's that next word, class? Liberally from your flock, from your threshing floor, and from your wine press, for what the Lord, watch this, from what the Lord has blessed you with, you shall give to him. You got it? Matter of fact, I want to take this scripture along with Luke 6, and I'm going to put them together and teach you something. Watch this. He says, give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. And watch this. And just as you want men to do you, you also do likewise to them. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. Verse 35, but, everybody say but. Love your, all right, come on class, I know it's raining, I know you're sleepy, you're going to get a good nap when you get out here, but love your, there you go, that's my class. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And watch this, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons and daughters of the Most High, for he is kind, watch this, he is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore, be merciful just as your Father also is merciful. Now, let's work this whole scripture out because for some of us, that's a lot that you want. You got it. I mean, in different areas. For some of us, it's a lot that you want because I need to be kind to my enemies. For some of us, it's a lot that you want because you want me to give, not expecting anything in return. You understand what I mean? For some of us, there's a lot here. But I want to make sure that I preface this. And of course, this was an agrarian society back in that time. Nowadays, you know, we're just, when we give, we're not giving you produce and those kind of things. When we're blessing to somebody, we say, hey, here's $100, you know, you guys go have lunch, it's on me, that kind of thing. And so what happened was, back during this time, this was always the will of God for you, watch this, to be blessed. It was the will of God for you to have enough to the degree that if you ever ran into a brother or a sister that was having a hard time, maybe something happened, maybe something went wrong, you were able to take out of your abundance and be a blessing to them. Does that make sense? Because remember, in Deuteronomy 15 and 14, at the end, he says, from what the Lord has blessed you with, you shall give to him. And so what happens is, because people, you know, are like, wait a minute. Now, so if somebody comes and asks me for something, I should just give it to them. Not your rent money. Not your mortgage. Yeah, I mean, because there has to be a balance, because that wouldn't make any sense. That means that every time somebody came to me, I'm just supposed to write checks. No. First of all, if you do that, you become a crutch for most people, and you become a target because they know if I ever just come and give you a sad story, you're gonna just write the check, because that's what pastors used to do all the time long before I ever became a pastor. I just would write the check. You understand what I'm saying? And then after I became a pastor and people started coming, you know, we didn't have the whole setup how we have now. If, you know, like the young lady, house burnt down, you know, you can come to the church, and when you're in, you know, real situations, you got, not that you spent your money at the mall and now you need to pay your life. But anyways, you know, and things like that, right? So in the beginning, like, people would just come and cry, and so I would just write a check. Not from the church, just me personally. Because, you know, God had just blessed us in business, so we just tremendously blessed. And then, you know, and then the next month, they came and cried, but it was a different story, and I wrote the check. And then the next month, the same person came crying, and then I realized, oh, wait a minute, hold on, there's a pattern here. You got it? And so you can't become a crutch for anybody. You got it? And so the key is that I give, hear me now, that I give out of my overflow, out of what God has already blessed me with. Does that make sense? So when you understand stewardship, and we're on Tuesday night, we're going to talk about some stewardship things. We're going to talk a little bit about credit repair. I'm not going to go deep into it, but I want to give you some information. You know, we're going to talk about these things. But when we talk about stewardship and giving the tithe, and we understand that the tithe is just the first part of stewardship, but there's a whole lot of things I got to do behind that. I can't just give the tithe and say, oh, God's going to bless me so I can just head to the mall. No, you head home and pay all of your bills. Does that make sense? Yeah, y'all are real quiet, but I'm in the right house. Y'all are normally not this quiet, all right? But no, you have to do things a certain way, because stewardship teaches me that if I take what I have and I handle it wisely, God will bless me with more. But it also tells, you know, y'all understand the talents. He gave one this talent, one this talent, one that I can't go into it, you know. But if I take what God's given me and I don't handle it the right way, you got it? You know, not only, you know, is this not going to be blessed, but I'm in jeopardy of, you know, losing what I have. Does that make sense? All right. And so God wants us to be generous just as he is generous, for God so loved the world that he gave. So we get that. We understand that. But I just want to make sure that you understand the principle of the scripture, that he's coming to them saying, hey, out of your abundance, you help those that are genuinely hurting and those that are genuinely in need. Does that make sense? Did I explain it good? All right, good. I don't want, you know, a wife calling the church saying, I need to talk to Pastor, because my husband just been writing checks ever since Pastor taught that lesson, because that is not exactly how it works. Does that make sense? I believe in spirit-led giving. What do you mean by spirit-led giving? I just think just because you know somebody's got money doesn't mean you need to go to them. Right? Yeah. No. The Bible says make your request known unto the Lord. Right? And so, you know, you hear family, God blessed them supernaturally. They heard the testimony at church, and then you're in need, and you go to them. I don't think that's the right thing to do. You got it? I believe that I'm a good steward. I trust God. I do things the right way. You got it? And then God will open a door. God will cause favor to show up in my life. That is how it's done. Can I get a good place to clap right there? Amen. No, because I gotta help y'all with that, all right? I got to help you. All right, Deuteronomy 15 and 15. I'm almost done. Got 2 minutes. Y'all got blessed? All right. This is so good to me. This is so good to me. All right. Y'all remember the third word. The third word is the word I need y'all to say, okay? Y'all ready? All right. You shall
remember.
Ooh, that was good. All right. All right. You don't even have to be that loud next time. You shall
remember.
That's it. Let's go home, Courtney. She's looking at her mama on the front seat like, mama, that was a little bit too much. All right. Just, can y'all follow me? A minute and 17 seconds. You shall, when you got to the place where you're doing good in life, you shall. When you got to the place where you finally got those credit cards paid off and it seemed like things are working, and you got money in the bank now, you're driving a nice car, you shall. When you get to a place where you've overcome addictions, you've overcome the hard times, it seems like things are working out, and even the marriage is getting better, you shall. In other words, he tells us, don't forget God. He says, you shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you. That word redeem means to set free. And so he's saying, listen, he's not saying remember your past sin, because we know that when God forgives us, he forgives us of our sins, and he throws our sins into the sea of forgetfulness to remember them no more, right? So God never brings up sin. That's not what I'm talking about. But he says, you shall remember that there was a time, you got it, where you were a slave in Egypt, but I redeemed you, or I set you free. Watch this. And he said, it's on that basis that I can command you to do this thing today. What do you mean commit to be generous? So he says, it's on the basis of that I brought you out of darkness into light. I took you place from a place of poverty to a place of wealth, from a place of sickness to a place of health. And there's one scripture that says that when you have eaten and you're full, when you've gotten all of the things you've been dreaming for, I'm paraphrasing, when you've gotten the land, everything is going, he says, don't forget the Lord your God. For it is he that gives you power to get wealth. So I can never forget. So every now and then in worship, not every day, but every now and then in worship or in my quiet time with God, I'm reminded of how it used to be for me and where I am today. And it's Watch this. And the remembrance is not for condemnation's sake, but it's for gratitude's sake. It's for me to say, man, God, I thank you. Thank you for bringing me. See, because if we're not careful, listen to me. You got to get this. If you're not careful, you forget that you started way over here. And you're making progress. You're coming. You're hearing the word. You're developing relationships. Things are getting better. Watch this. But if you're not careful, you're always focused on the goal. Watch this. And if you're not careful, you can be so focused on the goal, not even that you mean to be, but you can be so focused on the goal, watch this, that you become ungrateful for where you are because of where you're trying to get to. When God says sometime you need to stop and just look back and remember where I've already brought you from. And that's why you always hear me say, I may not be where I want to be, but I thank God I'm not where I used to be, and I can see God doing some things in my life. Is there anybody that said, I can see God doing some things in my life? Like, I'm not where I want to be, but I'm not where I used to be, and I can see God changing me, and he's changing me from the inside out. And I'm still a work in progress. I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about me. I'm still a work in progress. That's probably your testimony too, but I'm still a work in progress. My wife and I have just been tremendously blessed. I don't have time to get into it because I want to pray in a minute. Most of you all know our story. Before we ever opened these churches 11 years ago, we had our own businesses, multi-million dollar business. Just always been blessed. Just got it. Just, well, I mean, since we were about 25, been blessed. Yeah, not always because came up really, really poor. And when me and my wife first got married, you know, I was like, babe, I was, boy, we had it rough when I was a kid. She's like, yeah, we did too, you know, until we started telling our stories. And then I would, you know, like, I mean, we would look for change in the back of a car seat to get a loaf of bread. Like, that's what I'm talking about. You got it. You know, and of course, I like to preface that because I had wonderful parents who taught me the word of God. I am where I am today because they put the word of God in me. They told me who Jesus was. You understand? How to live my life for God. So they gave me really everything that I need. But I'm just talking about just from a natural standpoint of view, I just didn't really have a lot of stuff. You got it? And the more Lady and I talked, the more I realized she didn't have it as bad as I thought she had it. Praise the Lord. She's like, oh yeah, we had a new mobile home. I'm like, you did? I thought you said you was broke too. Y'all, somebody had some money. And we had a new Buick. I said, baby, y'all did okay. It was times we didn't have a car, like, period. You got it. And so, but bottom line is, you know, neither of us are where we are now. And I remember when we were beginning to just learn the word on giving and tithing and being generous and how you have to do it with the right heart, but God will bless you. And I'm not going to lie, I did want God to bless me, but it wasn't the motive of my heart. Does that make sense? Like if it's in his word, I want him to, like, just like if you were to get sick and he says he can heal you, you would want him to heal you, right? You know, and I want him to bless me. But I remember making God a promise that if you will bless me, I will do these things. And I remember, my wife, we live paycheck to paycheck, and she always had to bring her check home. She got paid every Friday. She always brought it home and just handed it to me. She never saw the money, like, ever. And so I deposited it in the bank. Of course, we had a joint account, so she had access to it. But, you know, by the time we paid all the bills, you know, till next week, it was like $50. You understand? Maybe you've never been down that road. And so just not much. That's $50 and not a lot to get through a whole week when you have to put gas in the car and, you know, those kind of things. And so we would go to Church's Chicken on Friday nights. If we had any money left by the end, that was our date night because they had the $1.99 two-piece special chicken with a honey biscuit. And that honey biscuit was the will of God. You understand? And we were just happy how we were. So we were believing God for more, but we were happy how we were. And so we begin to believe for the favor of God, because the Bible says, I'm able to make all grace abound to you. Grace is the favor of God. It's the willingness of others. And so favor began to show up in our lives. And I remember promising God, if you'll bless me, I will be a blessing. If you can get it to me, you'll be able to get it through me. Like I will be a blessing big time. And so God really started blessing us. I mean, like, blessing us with so much money that I did not know what to do with it. So I just put it in the bank. You understand? It's just, you know, lots of money, you know. And so, I mean, we had so much money in the bank, and we were still renting a house. You know, and ladies, my wife's parents said, hey, y'all, it's okay if you go buy your own house now. Like, you know, y'all got money now. I was like, oh, yeah, I guess so. You know, because we were just, you know, you used to renting. You always rent. You just used to renting. And so one of the first checks we ever got was like $30-some thousand. Man, we didn't know what to do with that kind of money. Because even though we were broke, our bills was only like $1,100. You understand? So, like, we was like immediately rich overnight. And so we gave. You know, we gave our tithe, we gave our offering, and then, you know, we said, who can we be a blessing to? Because we didn't want someone to come approach us. And so, you know, by the Spirit of God, we found out about a family that was getting a house. And so I remember we bought them furniture. And then, you know, and then just all the time we would just do that. We just believe in being generous. Like, we're just always super generous. And I got audited in 2010 for my taxes. And because I had $1 million in receipts and they didn't believe it. And so they audited me. Oh, man, that audit was so long. I pray none of you ever have to go through an audit with the IRS. And you have to give everything. And I mean, like, you got to give them your mama's name. You understand? Like, it ain't got nothing to do with your money, but you got to give them everything. They want to know what kind of cars you drive, what kind of degrees you have. It's just like, you know, you to find out later on in the end, the reason they do that, if you really did something wrong. When they put this together, they say, well, he has this degree and these kind of cars, and so he should have enough knowledge to do his taxes the right way. That's basically why they do that. Anyways, I passed it with flying colors to the end, found out that they really actually owed me some money, the IRS, but my CPA said, we would have to fight them tooth and nail. You better just leave them alone because they're already mad at you. You got it? And so, you know, but when we did that, we had to look back through all these years, because they don't just want 2010. Now they're able to go back, you know, and they want other years and just other stuff. And so I looked at how my wife and I have always been a blessing, always this check and this check and giving this person, you know, and those kind of things. And even to today, we are super, super generous. And I'm not trying to use me as the example. I know lots of people that are generous, so it's not about me. I say, Pastor, why are you still generous? I can see you being generous initially when God blesses you, you know, because you didn't have nothing all of a sudden, you know, but you would think that would kind of think, you know, die off, and you just kind of feel like you paid your dues. So why do you continue to be generous? And it's real simple. From that last scripture, that you shall remember that you never forget where you came from. And so my wife and I, we never forgot where we came from. And so we're so thankful from where we came from that it's our joy. God don't even have to tell me to be a blessing to somebody. You understand what I'm saying? You do know God didn't have to tell you to be a blessing to somebody, right? Sometimes you just set it in your heart to be a blessing to people. And so it's my desire for you that as we go through this series, it's going to take about 4 or 5 weeks to teach, that as you go, that you open up your heart and really say, God, I want you to do a work in me. And if you allow God to do a work in you, you will be amazed at what's going to happen through you. Let's pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. A couple people have to move, but if everybody else can just stay still.